that we can make it through another new year as we are in now 2026. And I am anticipating for great and mighty things in this new year, that God is going to bless you and your family and bless this local church, and to know that we stay the course in serving the Lord and knowing that God is with us and God is for you and I. He's not against us, but He loves us and He wants us to continue to do the work that He has called you and I to do. And I thank God today that we are here today as a body of believers. The Bible says, where there's two or three gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. So guess what? There's more than three people here today. And guess what? God is with us today. And God is going to continue to strengthen and reassure us that He is with us every step of the way. And so my prayer as their pastor is that I can encourage you, to give you a word of encouragement, to let you know that God is for you. If you have your Bibles today, hold them up high. That's the sword of the Spirit. And I see the Bibles going up across. And those that are watching, my prayer, is there something that I can say to you and your family to encourage you along the way as we get into God's Word today? And so last week I started a brand new series called The Unshaken Series, and it's sermon number two today. And if you've missed it, you can go back on our website to www.vfclexton.org, click into the media area, and you will get right on that first sermon of last Sunday. And the title of my message today is The Rapture Mystery. The Rapture Mystery. A lot of us have heard that word, rapture, but we want to look at this Unshaken series, and I want to go into God's Word because we see the word in the Bible, mystery. And so I want to talk a little bit about that word a little bit to and maybe enlighten us a little bit about, we've always heard, maybe you've heard through your grandmom, granddad, maybe you've heard it through people, about the rapture and something that's about to take place. And you might want to know more about it. Maybe you've heard it on funerals about the rapture. You may have heard different times that you've heard the word rapture, but we want to look at this a little bit today. And if you have your Bibles here, open them up with me to 1 Corinthians of the New Testament. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, beginning on the 51st verse. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. You probably didn't think we had that many verses in the Bible within one chapter, but there is. And so we're at 1 Corinthians of the New Testament, 15th chapter and 51st verse, 51. And let's look at that. I'm going to give you just a second to get there. I know it's going to be on the screen, so don't be lazy on me and just watch the screen. Now look in the Bible too. So you got to make sure your pastor is giving you what you need. And so we want to look here in the Word a little bit today. The rapture mystery. Let's look at that. Excuse me. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruptible, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, verse 55, O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor, look at this real closely with me, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Can I hear amen to God's word? Now, I want to look at this a little bit because through this series, we're going to be looking at end time prophecies, and we're going to see what God's word is truly saying to us in the end time. And so we're living in these last days. We're living in end times. And so with that, we as Christians need to know, and sinners as well, need to know that don't claim to know Jesus, need to know that there is a rapture that will take place one day. And we need to realize what God is saying to us through the Word of God, through the Word, by the Word, and in the Word of God, so that, why, Pastor? Why do we got to know this? You got to know this because you need to be alert. You need to know that Jesus Christ will be coming back, and He'll be coming back soon. And guess what? The Bible says, He says, I will come as a thief in the night. You will not know when I'm coming. Not even the angels in heaven knows when Christ is going to return. Only God the Father knows exactly when Jesus Christ will return. But until then, it will become a mystery unto you. Now, I want to look at this word mystery. When we see the word mystery, it may be a mystery to you and I, even as Christians, but I do want you to know that it's really not a mystery, because Jesus is letting us know about the mystery that people have about the rapture. Because this is what He says. He says, we shall not all sleep. So those that have died and went in the ground before you and I, they're really asleep. They're not dead. Now to us today, as we see that in our mortal bodies, we see, yes, they're as dead as a doornail. If you want to say, yeah, they're not coming back. But to God, they're asleep. To us, they're dead. Now, that's part of the mystery, because we see it as they're dead as a doornail. They're not coming back. But to God is that they are asleep. But the Bible says, but as they are asleep, we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. In other words, when Jesus comes back, they're going to be awakened. There is going to be an awakening going on for those that have died in the Lord. In other words, those that have died in the Lord before us, because we may not die a death, we may live to see the rapture take place. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but rapture means carried away. We will be carried away. And guess what? We may not die that death. We may not go in the ground. We may live to see the rapture, or the carrying away, that Jesus Christ will be coming back for you and I. But this is what He says. He says that The dead will be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. In other words, with this body that we have, it decays, it dies, it goes back to the ground. It is dust to the ground. My sister had passed away a while back, and two things she wanted was she wanted to be cremated and she wanted to be buried by her dad. And so she had never been married before, and so that was one of the things that she really wanted to do. And so as the brother, I executed everything she wanted. And I said, "Now, why are you wanting to be cremated and why are you not wanting to be buried in a casket?" And she said, "Well, Tim, it's just going to put me closer to the earth and it's going to take me there faster." So in other words, our bodies, doesn't matter whether we're in a casket, doesn't matter whether we get cremation, it doesn't matter. It's just with cremation, it's just going to get you closer to the dust, because it will be ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And we know we're all going back to the dust somewhere, somehow, if we don't live to see the rapture. And that's the mystery that I want you to understand here today. Let's look back at last week's sermon right quick. What time is it? What time is it? It's time to wait upon the Lord. It's time to witness for the Lord. It is time to be of one accord. Did you know in the United States, as I was hearing this on the news, that there are more people now reading their Bible than ever before? I mean, it's up to 70%. I mean, people are getting Bibles and they're literally reading them. And so there's something going on. There's a phenomenon going on in America, how that America is shifting. Things are changing. Things are moving in a direction that is leaning more to Christianity. It's leaning more to Christ. And I do believe it's the work of the Lord in these last days that He is working people into error. I've seen people in Hollywood giving their life to the Lord, and that's unheard of. You're seeing different things that's going on, that people are reading the Bible, and it's amazing what's going on in the world right now, because we are pivoting, we're turning a turning point. Because we were going in such a bad direction. And I'm not saying that there's still stuff out there that's not quite right yet. There's still evil in the world, as we know. But I do know there's something shifting. There's something that's taking place. And so I want you to know today that it must, and it's got to encourage you, to let you know you're not the only one in your faith. You're not the only one in Christianity. You're not the only one that's standing for the truth. You're not the only one that's standing for what's right. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You know that there's good, and you know that there's evil. And we know that's with us until the Lord returns. But until then, God gives us in His Word confirmation, and He lets us know that He's coming back, and that the victory is in Him, and that we will have victory in Him. And He lets us know through the Scriptures here that all this time that you come to church on Sunday mornings, or you come on Wednesday nights, or all the stuff that you do in the church and work for the church and labor in the church, He clearly says, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." In other words, when you work for the church, when you witness for the church, when you talk about Jesus, when you share the love of God, of Jesus abroad to others, it's not in vain. God is keeping a record of every time. He knows how many times. I'll give you an example. He knows every hair on your head. You may say, "Well, you're I'm bald headed. Well, that's fine. Under the follicles of your head, there are still roots, and God knows all the roots on that bald head. Now, I want to go a step further. God's keeping a record of when we come to church. When you work for God, when you labor, when you do things for the Lord, God keeps a record of all of that. But thanks be to the Lamb of God, He says, by the things that you do, it's not in vain, because He loves you. And by loving on Him is by serving Him. And by serving Him is causing you to be faithful in all that you do. Listen, there's mysteries even in the New Testament. Some things of which all writers spoke clearly. Clearly sin. And yet there's God's holiness. The need of salvation that must come about. The crucified Savior and salvation by faith. It came through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some things that are called a mystery, as we see it even in parables. Parables that Jesus speaks about can be the mystery even of the kingdom, as we see this in Matthew 13. The mystery of God's will. As we look in Ephesians 1 and 9, having made known to us, here's that word again, a mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. Yes, there is a mystery in how God does what He does. Why? Because His thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. How unsearchable are His ways? They are far past finding. You can't even begin. You can't even scratch the surface of what God has in store for you. That becomes a mystery unto us. But the one thing of the mystery that we do know is that God is faithful, and all that you do is not in vain. So He lets us know that as well. Listen, Paul reveals the mystery of the Lord's return. That's what we're looking at here today. The mystery of the rapture. The word rapture means carried away. And we look at this. My first point today is this: not all Christians will die. You might want to scratch your head on that one and think, wait a minute, Pastor, are you telling me this right? Look at this. All Christians will not die. Remember I told you, you may not die a death. You may not go 6 feet under. You may not have that opportunity to be cremated if that's what you elect to do. All Christians will not die. Why? Because in 1 Corinthians 15 and 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. Look at this. This is that word mystery again. Something that, again, that we don't understand. What is that? What is mystery? Mystery is something that maybe we can't figure out. A mystery is something like when you're watching a movie and it becomes a mystery and you can't figure it out, and you're trying to find out what the mystery is in the movie, and maybe you don't know till the very end of it. And then some that watches mystery movies may say, well, I know what it is at the beginning of it. But a lot of times you don't know, but then when it is revealed to you, then it's no longer a what? A mystery. Because you understand. Now look at this, 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Look at this. But we shall all be changed. Now look at that. You may live to see the rapture. You may live to see the coming of the Lord when He splits the eastern skies. And your mind may be saying, well, I've got to go through a funeral. My children and family's got to bury me, and I've got to this. And it's great to prepare. No problem with that. Great to prepare your casket, prepare everything. My daughter's already told me, Dad, I don't want to go through this with Aunt Rory. You've got to get everything prepared, Dad. I just can't handle it. And I understand. I said, honey, I understand. I've still got more to prepare for my death, but I may not need to use that, because you may live to see the coming of the Lord. Now, I want you to understand this clearly today. God is letting us know some have already died and some may live to see His coming. But we shall not all sleep. Sleep here refers to death. We may not die that death. But 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says this. The Apostle Paul, he writes and says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." We say they're dead. God says they're asleep. Look at this. "Let your sorrow as others who have no hope. Let them sorrow, but there is hope, because those are in Christ Jesus, they are asleep. Man has an appointment with death." Hebrews 9:27 says this, "And as it is appointed for men to die." It is appointed. There can be an exception if God comes back and we're caught up. But it is appointed. It is appointed that man is to die once. But after this, the judgment. So understand that if we do die, knowing that after we die, we stand before the Lord to be judged. The battle against death advances even into modern medicine. Millions will spend in research. Death rate remains a death for birth. And yet lifespan still today is 70, as God's Word says, and to 80 years if God grants us 10 more years after 70. Because the Word tells us clearly about 70 years of age. Psalms 90:10 says this, look at this. "The days of our lives are 70 years. Did you know that? Did you know God tells us on our years of life? Look at this. "The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they are 80 years, if God grants it. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off." And what does the Word say? "And we fly away." We fly away. So therefore, that lets us know, God clearly lets us know that we are to be what? Be ready, be prepared, know that God is with us every step of the way. And He tells us that's not a mystery. That's not a mystery. He said 70 to 80 years. Now, there's people that have lived longer than that. And people are living today that I know that's gone past 80 years of age. But it's because of God. God gives life, hear me today, and God takes life. But it's blessed be the name of the Lord in everything. Now, at Christ's return, believers will not all die. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." So what are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is, if that we don't go in the ground and the rapture takes place, the coming of the Lord, the taking of us up, guess what? We have to wait until the graves are burst open. And those in the grave have to come out first. then those that remain that are not in the grave, then we will be called up into the heavens with our loved ones, and we will be with the Lord forever. So it's not because we're alive that we're going to go up first, but the graves have got to burst forth. They will burst forth when the trumpet plays and the last trumpet. There will be many trumpets, but the last trumpet, Bible says, that will be given. Then the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those which stand and those that are there will remain, will be caught up into the heavens. You'll be caught up with Him with a physical death of hallelujah. Second point today is all Christians will be different. First, not all Christians will die. Second, all Christians will be different. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We shall be changed. Why, how will we be changed? We'll be changed when God comes back and the graves burst forth because they're asleep. But when He blows the trumpet, that's when they come out. When they blow the trumpet, the graves will burst forth. It will be a phenomenon. It will be something that CNN, all the news will be, they'll think aliens have abducted them and has taken them away. There'll be all kinds of writings that will be going on. The Washington Post, New York Times, they'll be saying, oh no, the aliens have come and burst forth all the great. No, it'll be Jesus Christ coming back for His ones that has served Him. They will leave the ground, split the eastern sky as Jesus brings them to Him. And those that are alive will remain, will be caught up with them. Listen, all Christians will be different. Listen, we shall be changed. Changed of this wonderful trip to heaven. Both dead and living, then changed. 1 Corinthians 15 and 52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, blink your eye. In a twinkling of an eye, that's quick. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, incorruptible, and we shall be what? We will be changed. Changed by resurrection power through the Lord Jesus Christ. Changed to be like Jesus. Can you believe that? The Bible says that when we see Jesus, we will be like Him. Boy, that's a mystery right there. It's just a mind-boggling thing. How that when we see Jesus, when we physically see Jesus, we will be like Him. 1 John 3 and 2 says, behold, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Oh my, you need to mark that in your Bible. That's 1 John 3 and 2. We will be like Him when we see Him. Folks, don't never doubt what God has in store for you and I. God has great and mighty things. And just because of the way something looks, the way something is, and you don't perceive it the way that it should be or way that you're looking at things. Listen, don't look with your naked eyes. Understand that Jesus Christ and Him crucified is what we need to be looking to. We need to be looking to the cross. We need to be at the foot of the cross. Everyone, including your pastor, has to come to the foot of the cross to know that God is the one that will change us. Listen, no more corruption. In other words, no more decay will take place when we see Jesus. It's over. No more tears, no more crying, no more suffering, no more pain, no more agony. None of that. All of that is gone. As we see this clearly, 1 Corinthians 15 and 53 says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruptible, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written." God has said it. He means it. He is what He is. He cannot lie. Death is swallowed up in victory. There'll be no more death. It'll be everlasting life. No more mortality. This miracle will be accomplished in a moment. The great miracle. Third, in getting close to my closing right here. All Christians should then be diligent. All Christians should then be diligent. We need to be about our Father's business. When Jesus was 12 years old, He was gone from Mary and Joseph. Mary was frantic, as a mother would be frantic for her child. And she was wondering, "Where is my son Jesus at?" And word had gotten out all through the town, "Where's Jesus at?" Some said, "Well, I think He's up at the temple." So she ran up to the temple, and any mother, frantic, probably grabbed him by the arm and said, "What are you doing up here in this temple? I did not know where you were at. Joseph did not know, your father did not know where you were at. So what are you doing here?" And she saw Jesus' look on His face at 12 years old, and she saw Him, and He looked at her and says, "I'm about my Father's business." In other words, He was in the temple speaking the Word of God to those that were in the temple. And for us, it reminds us and lets us know that we must be diligent in everything that we're doing. That we're doing the Father's business. That we're sharing the love of God. That we're sharing the gospel. We're sharing encouragement. That we're doing what God has asked us to do. So we must be diligent in all that we do, because we don't know when the return of the Lord is coming. But we must be diligent in doing the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 says this, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." It is not in vain. If you're working for the Lord and there's 3,000 people, if you're working for the Lord and there's only 2 people, it doesn't matter. The work of the Lord continues on, and it is not in vain, because God clearly loves to see us be diligent in doing His work. Diligent in view of these blessings. Listen, the dead raised and changed. Living believers are called up and changed. Death's sting is removed. As we see this in 1 Corinthians 15 and 55, "Oh death, where is your sting? Oh hell, where is your victory?" It's no good anymore. Why? Because Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that we have victory in. Why? Because He's went through death, hell, and the grave. He arose on the third day. He is seated with the right hand of the Father. Therefore, you and I have power and have victory. And there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There's nothing that can cause us to be away from God, because we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. And we're in the palm of His hands. Listen, the grave's victory has taken away. Victory over these potential enemies that so bombards us and causes things in our lives to be overwhelming. No longer will the enemy have victory over our life. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, but thanks be to God who gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul says, but thanks be to God who gave and gives us the victory. Who gives you the victory? Jesus gives you the victory. Who gives you the victory over the enemy? Jesus gives you victory over the enemy. Who is the one that's going to take care of you? Jesus is going to be the one that's going to take care of you. Why? Because He is the victory. Our greatest victory is through Christ. We must be steadfast, unmovable. We must always be abounding in the work of the Lord, and it will be worth it all when we see Christ. It will be worth it all. I remember the old song that my sister used to play and we used to sing, it will be worth it all. When everything is said and done, it'll be worth it all. All the suffering, all the pain that we may be going through right now, all of the disappointments, all of the, I wish I wasn't going through this, it will be worth it all after God clearly comes back with His Son, Jesus Christ. And my closing today is this. The question I want to leave with you: are you ready for Christ and His return? Are you ready for Christ and His return? That's one thing that we need to make sure of in our life, because listen, nothing else matters. The body that you have, the shell that you have, the body I have, the shell that I have, it's getting older. There's a lot of things that are breaking down. There's a lot of things that we go to the doctor for to try to get patched up. And there's things, and modern medicine is great. Doctors are great. Things are great. But we're getting older. We can't reverse the time of age. I wish we could. I wish I could go back into my 20s. I wish I could do that. I could do a lot of other things. You probably could do a lot of other things if you could go back into your 20s. But you can't reverse time. My dad always told me, he said, son, time waits on no man. Time just keeps on ticking. And it continues on. But the one good thing about it is that if our bodies are getting older and we're breaking down and things are happening, guess what? It does not change our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not change our connection with the Lord. The Lord will be with us all the way if He lets us to live to be 100 years old. He is still with us. Why? Because He loves us and He wants the very best. Are you ready when Christ returns and for Christ returns? And my next point would be is this, in my closing, it may be today. Have you ever thought about that? Nah, Pastor. Jesus is not coming back today. Not today. There's too much going on. There's too much stuff I've got to do. Nah, it can't be today. It's just not lining up right. It's just not doing right. Well, we don't know that. You don't know that. You don't know that. Christ could return. We don't know the hour nor the day. Because He says, I'll come when you least expect it. And I want you to know today, the most important thing is not for us to worry about whether Jesus is coming or not. It's for us to get things right with our soul. Get right with the Lord. Know that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Making that profession of faith and saying, Lord, I repent of my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and my life. Lord, save me. And the Bible says if we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, He arose on the third day, He's seated with the right hand of the Father. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. And if we believe and confess and surrender and say, Lord, save me, God will come into your heart and life and save you. He is a God of saving grace. He is a God of saving mercy. He is a God that will sustain us. But understand, He wants us to be right and be ready and be ready to serve Him at all cost. Stand with me across the building today. God doesn't want